live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Today we just want to talk about strength through community. Strength through community. And so since Otis and I are the life group pastors, hallelujah, so much fun, we just want to tell you from our perspective the why are life groups important. Life groups are small groups. I hope everybody understands that. It's just, you know, small groups of people that get together and do stuff, you know. So, but here at Bethel, we call them life groups. Life groups are important because they strengthen our church, thereby strengthening our community outside of these doors. Life groups are important, like counseling and personal prophecy. Life groups can better speak to the needs of the individual. Life groups can better speak to the needs of the individual. Life groups give people the opportunity to contribute to a larger discussion. Life groups help transform God's people from consumers to providers. That sounds like Otis, don't it? That's his point. Sound exactly like him. You'll hear why in a minute. Life groups enable a stronger commitment to the local church. I'm gonna say that again, because we gotta come to church. Life groups enable a stronger commitment to the local church. Our local church is Bethel. Yay! Amen! Everybody got it. Yay! Good. Life groups help the individual grow in their walk with the Lord. Now, in Psalms chapter 133, verse 1, it says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. This scripture shows us that God wants his people, brothers and sisters, to dwell together and connect by what we have in common. Not only is it good, but it's pleasant. Or, you know, y'all know one of my favorite words is fun. It's fun. Yes. So, we may not agree in every area. We are not a homogeneous group. We're not going to agree on everything. But in life groups, we find our commonalities. We find that thread. There's always a thread in a group of people that are together on a continual basis. There's always a common thread. And as we continue to grow together, as we continue to dwell together, we find more commonalities between us. Coming together in unity enables us to see our differences, the areas that we don't agree, from a place of agape love and purity. We don't have to agree on everything, but we can disagree and discuss with agape love and purity. That's so important today. I know everybody's been seeing the stuff on TV, and it's just ugly. Ain't nobody talking with agape love. Nobody's talking with purity. I don't know if we have our best intentions in heart within some of the things that we're hearing. And so in life groups, that's what we want to do. We want to disagree with one another. We want to agree with one another. And we want to do all of those things with God's love and with purity. See, that's how you do an introduction.
Now, just so we can recap on that introduction. No, seriously, I'm not going to go back. While we were working on this, it was kind of funny, though. The things she just went through, I would put down a bullet, and we talk about it. I say, okay, now let's put the meat to that. She said, honey, it's just the introduction, and I'm already into it. I'm like, let's roll. We put words together a little differently, but again, that's an opportunity to come together and work together and gel and do what God wants us to do. Amen. See, she's trying to keep me moving. So listen, she was talking about, finding our commonalities or our places, things we have in common. And we believe you can build strength through those areas. But at the same time, as you do that, you're learning each other. You get to know each other so much more so that when you do come across a time where you have a difference in opinion, that doesn't mean one's right and one's wrong. It might just be a difference in your preference or how you address certain things. But, you know, how do you talk it out? How do you work it through? And it needs to be with agape love. So I want to share a quick example. My friend Bud is not here. Fellow elder is not here today, but I wanted to share something that took place just so you would see how we were able to walk through a situation. There was this time when on Facebook, there was a comment talking about the Confederate flag. And it had a picture of the military, and they had a Confederate flag there. And there was comments that were made about how this is a good thing, and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. And I had noticed that Bud had made a comment about it. And then I chimed in and, you know, just brought my perspective because it means something different to me. Bud and I were able to talk about that. And because of our relationship, I know Bud's not a racist. Okay? He knows that I don't think everything any white person does or anyone else is racist. He knows my heart, and he knows I love the Lord, and I love him and his wife, if they're a blessed family. But because of our relationship, I was able to speak with Bud. He was able to speak to me, and we were able to do it in agape love because he had his perspective of what the Confederate flag meant to him, and I could listen to that and appreciate what he was saying and still articulate, from my vantage point, this is how it looks. And he was able to hear that. And we, through that conversation, came to a place not to say, you're wrong, I'm right, but to say, hey, I'll be a little more sensitive, but now I know it hits you that way. And I said, listen, brother, I don't see you as a, I know your heart. I know you and your wife, and I know where you're coming from. So that's cool. You have a family who, you know, served under that flag, but understand where we're coming from. And we were able to go through that, not miss a beat in our relationship. We're stronger. And that's just what I'm saying. I know him in so many other areas that maybe if I didn't have that close proximity to him, maybe, where we could get together, have times we broke bread together, all the elders have broke bread together and have time to talk and pray together and love and pray for each other. And those things have encouraged. I know that one little bullet's taken a long time, isn't it? I can feel her looking at me like, that one little bullet. But seriously, that's just a quick example of how finding common ground, you can develop a relationship that is rich and deep. And then when you come up against something that's a conflict, you can resolve it in the proper way. Right. Amen? All right, so I'm off of that. Now, I do want to talk about one of the points that we mentioned, Ivy mentioned, which I'm going to go and hit. Now I get to go into depth on these a little bit more, is life groups strengthen our church. Now, a lot of this is just on a practical level, okay? We have some scripture we're going to go into to support what we're talking about. But when you think about life groups, we have this larger body that we would love to see grow. I mean, grow as big as it wants to. Ivy wants us to grow so big in here that this becomes children's church because she says we're in their space. So if we were to grow so big in our congregation that we have to find another build on or whatever, that's what Ivy wants. But bottom line, Bethel Worship Center has a big congregation, let's say. Huh? That our main congregation would grow so much that we have to build another structure on top. Amen. That means we got to get out there and share the word. But so you've got that, which is the larger group. But in order to be able to communicate to that many people and to give the type of focus that you need to, that there's growth, you have to be able to break it down into little pieces. We are only as strong as the small pieces. Our church prospers and our church is strong as our individuals are strong. Amen? So it's funny, I do this little thing. Ivy got a raise. Let's see, I got a raise. Ivy got a raise. And every time a raise or some type of increase comes, I'm happy because it happened for our family, but at the same time, I say, hey, the church just got a raise. And I really say that. The church just got a raise. Somebody gets a new job. Hey, was it a pay increase, right? All right, hallelujah. Tithes just went up. Hallelujah. The church just got a raise. Because as our individuals go, so goes our church. So life groups strengthen our churches or our church. And now, one thing we need to remember is the way life groups will allow you, these smaller groups, allow us to better communicate the vision, to share information which gives updates, to help instruct people, and also it allows us to give different styles. And I understand anyone who does teaching, you know that your audience, some audiences hear different, they learn differently. Some need pictures, some want to hear it audibly. Others need to touch it themselves. So there's different ways that we get things across. Our life groups will allow that. We have different facilitators. At this moment, we have four life groups that are in play. And you can get a different delivery through those different groups. Amen. Still the same type of content, but it's going to be something that you have a way to contribute. Each member has a way to contribute into what goes on in that group. So one thing I wanted to look at real quick, if we can turn to Exodus 18. And in Exodus 18, I'll give you time to get there. You're familiar with this story. And while you're turning there, I'll go off road a little bit. Let me know when you're there. The devil does not want you connected. Our goal is to connect, grow, and serve. If he can't stop you from receiving Christ, if he can't stop that, his next move is to at least have your commitment to Christ stop there. Let's just stop it with, we know at one point you gave your life to Christ. Don't do anything else with that. Don't try to develop it. Don't try to get together with individuals who's going to sharpen you and make you better. He prefers that you not have the experience and the benefit of being in the body of Christ. That's the devil's goal. God has a different goal. Here in Exodus 18, I'm going to start reading here in 17, verse 17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the things that thou doest, and I'm so mad, I got this new phone, so forgive me. I got this new phone, and when I downloaded my Bible, it didn't bring over my New King James Version. So forgive the language a little bit. So he says, the things that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Actually, I'm going to switch to Ivy's. You got yours? No, you. Which one you got? The Exodus 18. Just read the 20.
So Exodus chapter 18, verse 18, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. Keep going.
Is that 20?
Yep.
That was 20, good? Good, excellent. So thank you for reading that, honey. Now listen, so you know before that, what I didn't get into is the fact that Moses was trying to judge every issue himself. So all the people would come before him, anyone who had conflict, they would come before him, and he would be working from morning to night, sitting there and judging each one. And his father-in-law, Jethro, saw this and said, man, this is not good for you. You're wearing yourself out and you're wearing out your people. And really, it applies in this situation. Because when you have a larger body and you have one individual trying to meet all their needs, which, believe it or not, there are some churches still out there who say, the pastor has to do it. I have to meet with the pastor. If the pastor didn't speak that word over me, I can't hear it. If the pastor didn't pray over me, I'm not healed. I know we don't do that here, okay? But the gist is this. that you have to break it down into a level where people have the opportunity to connect with you and to connect with each other. You are making a stronger bond. Amen. You're making a stronger bond on a more intimate level. And so what happens, and there's some studies out there that show, and this is just one of them that I had years ago, where it looked and said at every 40 people, you should have a shepherd, an under shepherd. Okay. So what was it? Was that Miles Monroe? Okay. But at every 40 people, you have one more person who could help them. Now, our life groups are going to be 12 to 14 people, because there's also a study that looks at and says, you know, think about the 12 disciples. But you being able to manage that amount of people and have the intimate relationship that helps everyone stay connected with the vision of the ministry. Updates. Just imagine this. Even the building needing to close because it's a snow day. We had to cancel service. Poor pastor tries to pull out his Rolodex. Of course, he doesn't have one. He's a PDF or his iPhone, smartphone. But imagine if the pastor had to be the one to reach out to all those people. No. We have a life group facilitator who can reach out to his crew or her crew and be able to instruct, hey, the church is going to be closed. It just helps you communicate things much better. Imagine Moses coming out of Egypt with the people. And I just thought about this. Over 3 million people. And he's got to tell them, tomorrow we're moving out. Goodness, that's hard. That's hard to communicate that to somebody going to be in the bathroom brushing their teeth or something. They're not going to hear the word. They're going to be in there and say, what? They'll be upset because everybody rolled out and they're still at the house. No, but seriously. I mean, seriously, think about it. That's the practical end of it. You'll have a better line of communication. There's a study done by David McClellan. Am I going too long here? I'm all right. And this is old needs theory that said everyone has the need for achievement. Everyone has the need for power. And these are the three. And affiliation. And some of them might be stronger. Like the pastor talked about the five love languages. You know, his love language might be different than somebody else's. Well, the same thing goes with need theory is, you know, you might be one who really have a need to have control over some piece of your life in order to feel like you're able to thrive. Others feel like they have to be a part of a group, affiliation. And because it gives them an opportunity, I know my voice has been heard. I know I feel that togetherness of working in a team. Okay? And some people, which I think most of us, we need to feel like we're achieving something. All of those aspects get hit in life groups. All of them. Amen? Because we're going to come together and we're going to have opportunities to work together side by side on projects. There will be an event where you'll come together just for fellowship. It might be bowling. It might be let's all go and we're going to see a movie together. And after that movie, we'll go eat and have a discussion about it. Amen. Or maybe we're going to cook food for good works. It strengthens strengthening our body. But it does strengthen our church. As we give out, we receive. Amen? All right, so I'll move on.
Praise the Lord. Point number two, life groups like counseling and personal prophecy can better speak to the needs of the individual. Life groups like counseling and personal prophecy can better speak to the needs of the of the individual. And I kind of liken this to when you go to the gym to work out, and that day you may decide I'm gonna concentrate on my legs. I want to get some more strength in my legs. Or another day you may concentrate and just work your arms. Life groups are able to do that. They are able to pinpoint areas. And sometimes, and I would say a lot, actually. If a life group facilitator opens the floor for a personal testimony or intercessory prayer, the needs of that person who raises something, that need gets met in that moment. They're able to pinpoint a certain area. And it's a good thing to do because a lot of us have not been in church all our lives. So we may have to spend a more time on redemption, for example. So that in a life group, you're able to do that. You're able to kind of spend a little more time on a certain area because that's what that group of people need in that moment. And because of the small numbers, because of the frequency of it, you're able to pinpoint those areas. It's a good thing. Life groups can get to finer details of topics and discussions. This focus enables Jesus to sanctify and cleanse us so he can present himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. That's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27. He cleanses us. He cleanses us so that he can bring to himself, to his Father, a church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. We can do that in life groups. They're important. Pick one. Go to it. Be faithful to it. You'll be blessed. Amen. You will be blessed. Life groups can focus on the finer details of our walk with God, which can lead us to confession and prayer. Let's turn to James chapter 5, because I want to read that. James chapter 5, verse 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. In the New King James Version, it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we pray for one another, it has purpose, it has meaning, it's targeted, and it prevails. That's what we have an opportunity to do in a life group setting, you know, and we may find that, you know, as our life groups continue to grow and thrive, the healing lines up front may get shorter because folks are getting healed in their life group. Glory to God. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't that be a testimony? And it also lets people know, it lets you know that you don't have to be super prophet, you don't have to be super pastor to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. This is a gift for all of us. We can all take part in it. Don't you want to put your hand to something like that? Yes, amen. Don't you want to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover? Oh my goodness. There are few things like it. There are few things like it. And being a part of that, your hand being instrumental in that is a wonderful thing. Don't cheat your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be in a group and allow the Lord to use you. Amen? Okay, our third point. Life groups give us the opportunity to contribute to a larger discussion. Smaller gatherings allow people to ask burning questions. Especially for those of us that have not been saved our entire lives, you didn't grow up in children's church, you didn't grow up in Sunday school, a life group gives you an opportunity to ask something that you may be a little bit embarrassed to ask, like, where is Deuteronomy? And, oh my goodness, what is that word? Could you pronounce that so I can say it too? Those are not embarrassing questions, but sometimes there's some background knowledge that you need to have in order to be able to survive in a service. If you are a new believer and you hear pastor say, let's turn to Ephesians, and you're like, oh my gosh, where is that? I don't know. And some folks don't know that there's a table of contents. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. Life groups can address that. It's a good thing. And for those of us that have been saved for a long time, it's good brush up. Amen. It's good brush up. We all got to polish the silver sometime. We all got to do it. There gets a little dust on it. Like, it's been fun. In children's church, we've been, look at me, don't I? We've been in children's church.
I told her she would do this.
But you know what? You, whatever. In children's church, we've been learning the names of God. And for the kids, I call them the nicknames of God. You know, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Sikkenu. We've been learning those nicknames of God. And it's been a good thing. And so I say to the kids, okay, today, and well, the reason why we're doing that is because God wants the children to worship him because they know him, not because the song is fun and I can jump up and down. He wants them to worship him because they know him, they understand him. Learning the names of God allows us to explore the character of God. And so we've been doing that. And so I'll say to the kids, okay, who's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Who's Jehovah Sikkenu? The Lord our righteousness. He helps us make right decisions. We can do that in life group. We can do that. It's a good thing. So that's the point of it. Come, learn something new or polish the silver, whatever.
Amen. You don't necessarily have to raise your hand like that, though. So you can or speak that high either. So, but no, she is absolutely right. You know, you get to come and have some dialogue. It's much more richer conversation. Now, don't get me wrong. I love coming here Sunday morning and hearing pastors share. I know he's gone into his word. He brings excellent insight, and he's being led by the Holy Ghost, and I know that. It's excellent. But it's not really place for me to speak about. Hey, pastor, tell him about that one scripture that I'm thinking about right now, because that ties in with what you're saying. That's not really the right place to do that. But in a life group, you can do that. You can add to that conversation, and actually, you might find out you start to stir something, and everybody say, oh, that's good. Let's jump on that. And now you have a greater conversation taking place. I want to share something with you. Ivy mentioned some of the things that we might say that we just assume everybody else knows. And yes, I know this is not in my notes. But I started doing this CrossFit. Okay, and I go into this CrossFit, and I'm in there with these guys and ladies in there. Does most people know what CrossFit is? Where you're in there working out, and they find these alternate ways to, you know, you might pick up a ball and throw it. You got to keep throwing this ball up against the wall, or you jump on a box. It seems like you're not doing anything, but before you know it, you're burning up pieces of muscle that you didn't know you even had. So, you know, trying to do pull-ups and stuff. Now, if you see people who know how to do CrossFit and then they're in shape, it looks much different than what I do. So, anyway. But my point is, when I go in there, they have these workout routines, and they have a whole lingo that they all know. So one day I go in, and they've got on their K to N, okay? Or I'm sorry, actually, K, they have it K to E. And I see that on there. I'm like, I have no idea what that is. And everybody's like, oh, this is going to be a tough workout. This is going to be a really hard workout. And I'm like, I have no idea what does this mean? Oh, that's knees to elbow. Knees to elbow. Oh, okay. And then I learned something else. And they're just talking all this language. Sometimes we in the body of Christ, we forget new people come in and we talk about fivefold ministry gifts or being slain. Oh, they were slain. Nobody knows what that means. And so those type of things, you can go into deeper explanation. And I mean, that can happen Sunday morning as well. But there's a lot of words that jargon that we have that we assume everybody else knows. But some people just don't know. We need to get into it a little more. Amen. So now the part we want to deal with now is the fact that life group allows you or actually helps transform you from being a consumer to being a provider. Another way of saying that is, you know, where God says he'd rather us be lenders opposed to borrowers. Okay? So by connecting, there's always that type of the first part of the relationship, the initial contact in a relationship, and that's the connect piece. But our goal is to connect, grow, and to serve. And so God's purpose for us, as all of us, is that we would come into a relationship with him And in that relationship, there should be some bumping that takes place. There should be some commonalities that we work from, but there should be some places where we bump up against each other in conversation and have a chance to sharpen each other so that growth will take place. And once that happens, we should then be able to turn around and serve. So I really believe that being connected allows you to go from being a borrower or one who solely consumes to being one who provides. The goal is that in that transformation, that you come from a place that now when you're providing that thing that is of God and not of the world. Amen. So I'll give you an example. When we come together, if you turn real quick to Hebrews 10. Yes, if you could go to Hebrews 10. Actually, no, I'm sorry. I already have it here. In Hebrews 10, verse 24. Say amen when you're there, please. I'm now in my iPad now. So my iPad actually has the New King James. So we're okay here. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Let us consider one another in order. Now, so that we consider each other so that we can stir up love and good works. Then next it says here in 25, I'll come back to that in a moment. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let's not forsake us coming together. Thank you. As is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that's too big for me to really get into all of it. But basically this, we need to come together, stir love, and stir up good works. When I hear that type of language, that tells me it doesn't just happen. It's not something where I passively can say, this will happen just because I'm a Christian. I'm going to be stirred up to love, and I'm going to be stirred up to do good works. No, you got to be deliberate. And you got to encourage it in your neighbor, that person you're joined with. And so we need to do that. And it says, don't forsake that. And especially, basically, it's saying, especially knowing the day that is coming. And we see all kinds of craziness coming. Pastor was sharing in one of his messages about how people cloning and doing all this stuff where they want to be God. And there's some ridiculous things going on. There's different type of struggles all over the world. The signs are all there. A day is coming that he's been talking about. And we better desire to be together even more because of that day. We're going to have to be together, because if we get separated, the enemy is going to pounce on us one at a time, and we're not going to have that support that we really need. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be a group of lenders in here, a group of providers in here. God's kingdom is the one that's supposed to be providing. You shouldn't have to rely on the government to do all that thing. All those things. Sometimes we do because the church has not truly done all that it needs to be. So, I know I'm getting tight on time here, but anyway, okay. Yeah, go to the next one. She's always bossing me around. Here's one word I did want to share in here. I was listening to a teaching, a TED Talk, just where you can go and look at a video, and they have these different topics, wide topics. But this one lady was talking about an ecosystem, and she was looking at community, because I was wanting to search on community and see what different things were out there about community. And it talked about an ecosystem, and it said that it's cyclical, which I've preached many times, how God's kingdom should be self-sustaining. Give and it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I give seed to the sower, all those type of things. And so one of the things she said is, in this certain ecosystem she was talking about, she said there's no unemployment. Everything has a job. And that just stuck in me. We all have a job. There should be no unemployment in God's church. Amen. We all have a job. Hallelujah. The next thing we need to look at about life groups. Oh, is that you?
That's me.
Like, he don't know.
Yes. Aren't we? Yeah.
Life groups help the individual grow in their walk with the Lord. Okay? Life groups help the individual grow in their walk with the Lord. And so I kind of liken it to, and I'm, as soon as I say this, all y'all are going to go, well, of course she likens it to that because that's who she is. But life groups are kind of like a cheerleading squad. They're our rah-rah team. They're the people that come around us that cause us to do things that we didn't know that we could do. They're that person. They're those people that come to us when we say that, wow, my boss asked me to do this certain thing and I've never done this before. And man, it just looks. And then your person that you're in a life group with, they say, you know what? You can do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Another person in your life group would say, oh, don't you worry about that, sister. You got it. You got it. They're your cheerleading squad. They're people that push you to do things you didn't know that you could do. And that is what growth is. That's what growth is. When you're constantly, progressively changing and growing and moving deeper in your walk with the Lord, He begins to pull things out of you that you didn't know were there. That's the way He designed us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. And sometimes He puts that knowing in somebody that you go to church with, somebody that you're in a life group with. He puts a little bit of knowing in that person, and they say, you can do it. You can do it. Or they'll say things like, you know, I've heard of that before. Why don't you read this book? I read about that in this book. Or, you know, I just saw a video about that. Why don't you watch this video? Life group, the members of your life group are a resource that you can draw upon. Okay, so we don't, and also something, just let's think about this from the other side as well. Yes, we as an individual can draw, but also we as individuals can give. That's why it's important that we show up. That's why it's important that we're there, because God has put something in each of us that we need. So be a part, participate.
All right, so you're going to hear more about life groups. Like Pastor already mentioned that we're still going to have a message from Leland and from Eddie. Yeah, I know you did. It's okay. But this is very important. You even saw the video, which I just got to echo. Kathy is the bomb. Kathy is awesome. Well, she put up video of the connections. I didn't even have a chance to talk to her about that, but she did that on her own. And then even during the service, you saw where she had us approaching the throne and the cross was up there. That was not rehearsed, but that is exactly what I saw as I was leading worship. That's exactly what I saw. Kathy, you're the bomb. Love you so much. So you'll continue to hear more about this, but it's very important to us. We want to be connected, and we want to have opportunities for others to experience their gift, practice their gift, and have a place and an opportunity to allow that to come forward. And so life groups are very important. That's all we've got to say on that piece. Pastor, you want to take it back?
Thank you very much. Listen, as we continue through this series, we just want everyone to glean as much as possible from this. Recognize that this is encouragement. We want you to be a part of life groups. I know that sometimes there may be circumstance in your life, work, or whatever, where you cannot be, situations with kids, but we do believe that these life groups are very, very important to the body. To grow and to continue. All the things that they talked about this morning, that I talked about, that Eddie and Leland are going to be talking about, sharing with us the importance of getting connected. You've got to be connected somehow with the body of Christ. Not just the Sunday morning. Sunday morning is awesome. You know, praise God that we can be here. If that's all you can do, great. We're glad to have you. But we want to help you grow. That's what this is all about. We're starting our life groups this week back up. Those who have been here on Wednesday night, we will be back here on Wednesday evening at 6:30. A new one will be started at Otis and Ivy's house outside of Athens at 6:30 on Thursday. So we're inviting anybody, if you'd like to be a part of that life group, we are going to have a life group fair. There'll be more information, but we are in the process of getting them started the 1st of March, like we said we were going to. We made that commitment, so we're getting that started. So please, if you have any questions about any of the life groups, you can see me, you can see Leland, Eddie, Otis, Ivy. We can all answer any of the questions that you have. Please come, be a part of them. We want these life groups to grow and be a significant part of Bethel Worship Center. Please stand with me. God has given us a vision of reaching a 50-mile radius. And in order to do that, one of the things that we see happening here is some of the things that we did this morning. You know, Jim going off to Pastor Carlton. That's a part of our area that we're impacting. And through his ministry, Bethel Worship Center will be reaching out. But our life groups also are a very important part of that. We believe that we can just continue to expand and grow those life groups and reach out into this area so that we continue to reach with the love of Jesus Christ, encourage and lift up the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you once again that we have this body that I believe, Father, we are so blessed to be a part of Bethel Worship Center, people who have a heart to serve you and love you. And I just ask that you touch and lead, direct us in all that we do. Touch each one of these life groups, Lord, as we set out on this new path that we have set, that your hand would be upon us, that you will order our steps as we continue. The facilitators will hear from you, Father God. These are godly people whose desire is to serve you and only build your kingdom. It's not about their own kingdom. It's about your kingdom. I just thank you that you've given us this opportunity as we continue to expand and grow. Touch your people. Bless us, Father God. Doesn't matter what's happening in the world. What matters is happening in your kingdom. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Have an awesome week.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.